This is CliffCentral.com.
Fuck, bitch. I don't give a fuck about you or anything that you do. Don't give a fuck about you or anything that you do. I got a new chick that I gotta thank God for. I got a new whip.
Oh, that's the way to wake up.
Yeah, I got a lot more.
Alice, I was going in hard at that song. Yeah. Singing along, pulling against things.
I could see you. You were in your element. Alrighty. Let's get into a little bit of news. But before that, Sia just told me he's on uncle duty today. So he's picking up the 5-year-old from school. Is that right?
Oh, yeah. This afternoon, it's me and the car seat and the knickknacks all over the place. And the...
You're a good person. Oh,
and the sand in my car. But I'll see him, and I haven't seen him in a while. So
no, you're a good uncle.
No.
I'm not that guy.
So what? You would never help out if you were asked?
I will.
Mm-hmm.
Once the children aren't sticky and dirty and need nappies changed and that stuff. Those kids I'm not interested in. When they're a little bit older, yes, sure. Okay. I can talk and have conversations, and they're getting there. They're coming along.
So you've never picked them up from school?
No.
Do you know where... Have you been to, like, a concert of theirs?
No.
Because that's also a bit of a time.
Nope.
No, but it's also sweet, though. Nah, you know, you drag yourself there, then you watch them, like, sing Twinkle Twinkle, then it's sweet.
Nah.
Have you ever slept with
them? I once went to a play. My sister studied drama for 2 years at the beginning of varsity, and they put on a play. It was the most horrible night of my life. I still resent the waste of time of having to go and see this stupid, boring play. And she's an adult. And the play was, an intellectual performance of a kind, and I just hated it. I won't do it. I'm a selfish, horrible person. Mm. That's why I'm single. That's why I don't have kids.
Wait for it when they say, for example, oh, no, Daddy, tonight I'll sleep with Uncle Gareth.
No,
do you know what it's like sharing a bed with a toddler?
No, thank you.
Dude, they pull ninja moves in their sleep.
I don't want to know.
You end up just accepting the fact that you have a little foot on your face the entire night. And that they've pulled the blankets towards them. It's not, just part and
just
parcel.
Not going to happen. What we'll do one day is we'll go to museums and art galleries.
Okay,
and,
then you have to run after them as well.
Yeah, I'm not the... That's the... What are you pulling your face for, Amanda? What's wrong with you?
I don't think they want to do that.
I don't care what they want to do. It's what I want to do.
Oh. I think there's a critical point we're missing here. Just that I don't get out there.
Okay, all right.
I'm just saying.
I think I might have a problem. Ooh, I think that I found myself a cheerleader. It's me. All right, let's get into some news.
All right, so let's get into a bit more detail with regards to this, breaking news story about how Kim Jong-un and his trigger-happy fingers yet again.
Kim Jong-un.
So North Korea have fired another missile over Japan.
Really?
Sharply escalating tensions. Yeah. This happened in the early hours of Tuesday, and the missile that flew over Japan landed in waters off the northern region of Hokkaido. South Korean and Japanese officials have reported this, marking a sharp escalation of tensions on the Korean Peninsula. Now, the test, which experts said appeared to have been a recently developed intermediate-range missile, came as U.S. and South Korean forces conduct annual military drills on the peninsula. So it would seem everybody is busy, conducting their own version of the test.
Can't people just grow up?
Well...
None of us want a war. Do you want a war?
No, I've never wanted a war. I don't want to live to see a war.
Mm. This is where I really do believe that women, if they were in charge, this wouldn't be happening. There are all kinds of challenges, whether it's men or women in leadership, right?
Mm.
But women are not constantly trying to one-up each other and having these ego battles. And that's all this is. Mm. You've got two of the most egotistical men in the universe, Donald Trump and Kim Jong-un. I mean, two little boy men who are trying to have a fight on the playground, but neither of them really can land a punch. And so they're going to press nuclear buttons. Look how powerful I am. Look at me. I'm the alpha male. Would never happen with women.
So it all started when Trump warned that Pyongyang would face fire and fury if it threatened the United States, to which North Korea, you know, threatened to dump a whole bunch of missiles on them. So it really was just a big dick-singing competition. North Korea has conducted dozens of ballistic missile tests under their young leader, the most recent one happening on Saturday. And, yeah, over the last several hours, another missile being launched over the peninsula.
Well, I would say grab yourself a drink, set up your camp chairs, and watch the mushroom clouds.
Sure. How safe a distance can we watch?
No, we're okay. Our isolation may just be the most perfect thing for us. You know what? We're not going to stop it anyway, right? So go for it. You guys want to have this dick swinging competition, as Mubs calls it? Go ahead. Make my day. We'll just sit and watch.
Yeah, it's just, you know, the only issue is that they're making their problems ours.
I feel like Cersei Lannister in Game of Thrones. You guys, you can fight the White Walkers, and we'll just sit here and whatever's left, we'll fight with.
Mm.
What do you think?
I don't want to involve myself in
exactly
North Korea and the U.S. and their issues, no.
And how could you anyway? What are you going to do? Are you going to get involved? Are you going to insert yourself between Kim Jong-un and Donald Trump? Ugh.
Nope.
And I don't know how Guam ended up being in the firing line, because that's who the North Korea said that they would target first.
Well, it's the U.S. base closest to them, yeah, I suppose.
But I mean, really, you know, they're, again, making your problems everybody else's problems.
Can you imagine how excited Trump is with that nuclear suitcase, the football that they carry around? Just open it up, let me have a look. I just want to see it. I've never had one of these.
I just want to touch it.
Do you think there's a big red button ready for this?
I don't know what it looks like. I wonder if someone knows what's inside that suitcase. Like, what kind of a machine is in there? Can we Google image the football? Because it's called the football, and there's always a guy walking right behind the president. When he gets on and off planes, the nuclear football, look it up. And he's got this bag, which looks like a tog bag, really, like a gym bag. And inside it are the nuclear codes. And wherever the president goes, this guy is not far behind.
Really?
You seen it?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
There's a keyboard. Well, this might be like a fake picture.
I think that's a fake one. But
yeah,
there
there's a keyboard, a little red button.
There's a red button?
Mm.
Fire. I like that it's red.
And the Navy SEAL there.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I do find it interesting that there haven't been more attempts to try and steal that nuclear football from the guy who carries it.
I think if it gets stolen, they just get new codes. In other words, it's redundant. Like, if you steal it...
Oh, so he's not walking around with something that's massively valuable.
Yeah. I like this. They call it the president's emergency satchel. It's like, I have an emergency satchel in the boot of my car with a fresh change of clothes and a bag for toiletries. I don't carry around the nuclear codes. It's a briefcase, the contents of which are to be used by the president of the United States to authorize a nuclear attack while away from a fixed line. How's that, huh?
Wow.
Yeah, that's quite something. So that's what Trump would use if he decided to go to war. Unless, of course, he was in the White House, in which case he would just do it from there. It functions as a mobile hub in the strategic defense system of the United States, is held by an aide-de-camp. And then they go into discussion around what it is, what it looks like, who started using it. It started with Dwight D. Eisenhower after World War II. And usage came about during the Cuban Missile Crisis, while John F. Kennedy was concerned that a Soviet commander in Cuba might launch missiles without authorization from Moscow. Kennedy asked several questions related to the release of U.S. nuclear weapons, and he asked basically, how would the person who received my instructions verify them? There needs to be some way that they would know for sure it was the president saying, go ahead, launch those nukes. Quite something.
And look, from outside, it just looks like a leather bag.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Ooh.
It's a tog bag. Yeah. I mean, it's
You do not want to get that confused with any other bag.
Isn't it scary that, like, Donald Trump is the guy who has this in his... I mean, really? This is a guy... I would be afraid if he were my landlord. and I had an apartment in Trump Towers, I'd be afraid. But to have him in charge of the whole thing and the nuclear footprint, Jesus, it's terrifying. That really is terrifying. Because, you know, for him, it'll all be about ego. Like, what'll happen is that Kim Jong-un will say something about how small his hands are, and then Trump will go, that's it, I've had enough.
Yeah. And that will be the tipping point for him.
Yeah. All right, well, there we go. That's the interesting thing that's going on there.
Oh, no.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so the president's son, Edward Zuma. Sorry, Duduzani. Wait, what?
Well, either
one of them.
It's
dickhead one or two.
It's Duduzani, my bad. You need to be sure of your facts when reporting this kind of news.
All right.
So he had what turned out to be a rather bad day yesterday when it was confirmed that all of his bank accounts have been closed. And this is apparently due to his association with the controversial Gupta family.
Oh, yeah.
It all began when Duduzani decided to write an open letter to Pravin Gordhan saying that he was selling his shares in Gupta-linked companies so that he could focus his time on clearing his name. Now, unfortunately, what this did in him writing this letter is it inadvertently provided further evidence that the pressure is mounting on the Guptas, whose remaining bank accounts are expected to be closed at the end of August.
Uh-huh.
Now, it is unclear in what capacity Duduzani Zuma wrote to Pravin Gordhan, but in his letter, he has admonished the former finance minister. He is accusing him of using state bodies, such as the Financial Intelligence Center, as well as the South African Reserve Bank, of trying to destroy him and his business colleagues with no proof of misconduct.
No proof? What are you, drunk?
No, Gareth, he's not drunk. I'm sure he's just going
fucking high. What's the story here?
he says there's no proof. That's what he says. all of my bank accounts have been closed by your friends in the banking industry, likely with your support, is part of what's included in this letter. So
Spoiler rich kid can't get his hands on his cash.
Yeah, shame.
His ill-gotten cash. Mm. Oh, so you can't fill up with petrol at the petrol station in your SLS. I'm so sorry. It must be hard for you, you poor bastard.
And now the finance minister, the former finance minister has now said that he has referred the open letter to his lawyers to have a look at.
Huh.
Yeah.
Well, you know why he's upset, because he can't get his hands on the money.
Yes, because
he's taking it out on Pravin. It's it's all Pravin's fault. Daddy said I could have all these millions because we'd do some dodgy deals and I can't get my money.
And clearly he's suffering a little bit of an inconvenience. I mean, having all your bank accounts closed, what are you supposed to do then?
Fuck off.
Where do you then take your money? Oh, where?
Get out of our country. Go and live in Dubai where you've already got a house.
Mm.
And they buy him one of those apartments in that very tall Burj Al Kharab or whatever it's called.
That's the one.
Go and live there, Duduzani. You've got lots of cash there. And there the banks don't care who you are because those countries have no morals or scruples. They'll let anyone bank there.
Mm. Well, sticking to more rich kids, the two Mugabe sons are back in the country.
Nice.
Oh, no.
It's just delightful, isn't it not?
Nice.
They are back in the country, and Robert Mugabe Jr. has resumed his studies at the University of Joburg. No. So he is studying architecture, and supposedly on campus he's been keeping a very low profile. And they've now actually, they aren't living at the hotel, and they're rather hiding in one of their mother's houses in Sandhurst. So
again, it must be so tough for them.
So tough. And here's the irony. So First Lady Grace Mugabe spoke for the first time publicly on Friday since the assault that took place here in South Africa. And guess what she spoke about? Respecting women. How ironic. And I'm sure it doesn't even click with her. You know, she spoke about how society needs to, you know, just respect women, and especially young men need to do so. She says, in quotes, "You are not just respecting your mother alone, but other women as well. When you see a woman anywhere, you should think about your mother, your sister, or your wife."
Get out of here, man. Shit, I'm saying. Get out of here for real. I'm saying, get out of here for real.
You have to have your head so far up your own backside to be thinking like she does. Here's a woman who's just been accused, and we have We have photographic evidence of this poor young lady who was hanging around with these reprobates who are her children, Grace's children.
Mm-hmm.
And she attacked her with an electric cable. I mean, an electric cable. Like a barbarian. And she's going to talk about respect for women.
Do you know what she says about her children's behavior, though? This, she said this back in July, and now this quote has resurfaced. She says that nowadays there are spirits attacking our children.
Spirits.
Sure, because your children aren't bad people, they're spirits, right?
Why don't you go and live with those people if you talk about spirits and things? Go and live with those people and escort, let them eat you.
Yeah, she says she says the spirits of drinking, drug abuse, and other and doing other abnormal things way beyond their age. I'm telling you, because the behavior of children does not matter if they are the president's children or not. All children are mischievous these days. But I have turned to God for wisdom.
Oh,
I ask the Lord for intervention.
Okay, here we go.
And pray every day when I wake up.
Yes. Yeah, but you willingly brought these children into the world. The buck stops with you.
Ah, disgrace, Mugabe.
Oh, yeah.
Disgrace.
I am so nervous around people who bring up God. Because they, I mean, there are good people who do. Please don't get me wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But it seems to me like that is always the default position for horrible people who have no other excuse for horrible behavior. God. Well, it's bad spirits. Do you remember when... I mean, you could go back in history. You could look at any situation where humans have done atrocious things to other humans. And invariably, someone will invoke, oh, the devil made me do it. Evil spirits. Some superstitious nonsense. No such thing as personal accountability. No such thing. It's just mind-boggling. And then invariably what they do is they find God, and God helps them through it. They never accept personal responsibility. So it was, well, God showed me that it was the demons. Yeah. It was the devil. And now I'm much better. Now I'm a good person. You know, because it was all those evil things. And it was never me.
The devil is a motherfucking liar. Right. So you know I ain't worried. Biatch, stupid bitch.
Right. Hallelujah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Anything else?
Yes, there is a Nigerian neuroscientist, Oshio Renoya Agabi.
Oh, I love that.
Me too.
Just I love their time. Names.
Oshiro?
Oshio Renoya Agabi.
Yes.
Wow.
And he may have found a way to solve one of life's puzzling dilemmas, which is that of air travel being unpleasant of late. So the question being asked here is, what if you could skip the tedious airport security security lines with a special device that is able to sniff out explosives, because that is what Agabi claims to have been able to do. No. This is one of the possible uses of what Agabi says is the world's first neurotechnology device, which was developed by his Silicon Valley-based startup and unveiled at the TED Global Conference in Tanzania this past weekend.
Nice.
Yeah. While those in the field of artificial intelligence are working furiously to create machines that can mimic the brain, Agabi says that he has found a way to merge lab-grown neurons with electronic circuitry. And, you know, his invention will be able to detect a whole list of chemicals, explosives, maybe even sniff out illnesses where, you know, cancer is involved.
So that sounds good.
Yeah, that sounds very good. It's always exciting to hear what new developments are being made in the technology field. But yeah, now they'll potentially be able to sniff out any explosives while you happily just go about your business in an airport, and then maybe they can ease up on those strict searches that they've been doing on us.
Well, my favorite scene from the new Rick and Morty is where they have a machine that you go through, like a scanner, and they pick up if you're a psychopath or a crazy lunatic, and obviously it picks up Rick. And
then,
and what they do is they give you an injection that basically makes you like a drooling idiot for the duration of your flight. And then when you wake up on the other side, you go back to being the psychopath that you were.
Wow.
But for the flight, you're incapacitated. Now, this to me, even though it's a cartoon and Rick and Morty is a lot of bullshit, this is really a good plan. Listen to this. I mean, I think this is the most genius way of dealing with everybody. Terrorists and psychopaths and crazy people and dangerous people and criminals. Because we can all fly together if they're just paralyzed, sitting in their chair like a drooling idiot, and it wears off after the 6-hour flight. Great, right? Listen to this.
Go ahead.
And it picks up Rick.
What's happening?
Your friend has Class C or above cybernetic augmentations. Emphasis on the above. In any case, he needs to be neutralized.
What? Wait!
So they inject him.
Brain hurty.
What did you do?
It's a synaptic dampener that blocks violent tendencies and controversial thought. He will now be an ideal passenger.
I want cookies and a 90-minute cut of Avatar.
Seriously?
Quit it.
It'll wear off in 6 hours. It's cheaper than banning dangerous people from flights. I mean, let everybody buy a ticket, right? Otherwise, the terrorists win.
Isn't that great?
So then you're flying around with a whole plane of incapacitated passengers.
Yeah. I am. Let them all be like they're all retarded, like just drooling all over the place. You strap them in. They can't undo the buckle because they're completely useless. They just can't move their arms or anything. Then everyone flies pleasantly.
What about screaming babies on flights?
Or else they should just pump nitrous oxide into the plane while we're all flying.
Ah.
Laughing gas. Ooh. Just put us all to sleep with a little laughing gas, and we wake up on the inside and go, whoa, that was a hell of a trip.
Oh, you see, then it takes it a step further, because now I know some people will also be like, oh, just get everyone high.
That's fine too.
Get high in the sky.
But when you're high on laughing gas, you can't do anything. You're paralyzed. You're just... central nervous system anesthetic, baby. Mm-hmm. Come on. What are we worried about? Listen, people are unpleasant. So if you knock them out for the duration of a flight, everyone's in the same situation. Nobody has to feel hard done by. You get to the other side. You wake up. You're like, whoa, that was a good sleep. Mm. Oh, stretch and yawn and move on.
All the babies will be passed out to...
That's my biggest concern, actually, big is plus. Screaming babies on
you
planes.
You won't smell the big weird, funky plus.
Oh, big plus. Put them all to sleep. All right. Somebody says that our app keeps cutting out. I'm sorry. I don't know what's going on there. We're trying to fix it. But I know yesterday we had a problem. And Greg, our technical genius, is in Israel at the moment. But he was fixing it from there.
And it's his birthday today.
Yeah.
Actually.
Happy birthday, Greg. And happy birthday to Michael Jackson.
This is important news. Absolutely.
Yeah. Morning, team. Gareth, the point is something my father taught my brother and I. It's the bottle or the Bible syndrome. Extremists can't seem to get a balance right. Can only either do one or the other. Grace Mugabe is a good example. What a clown, Stephen. You know, maybe what we should do is put the Bible and the bottle on the table and say to them, you're allowed 50% of this and 50% of that. If you overdo either one, it's going to be trouble.
Oh, no. Isn't there a happy medium in between?
That's what I'm saying.
50-50 is a bit too much for me.
No, 50-50 is good. But it's when you're 100% into the bottle, you become a problem to society. And 100% into the Bible, you become a problem. Really. I am more frightened by fundamentalists and orthodox religious people. Way more frightened of them than I am of alcoholics, drug addicts, dentists. Way more frightened than that.
Shame. How are you lumping dentists into that whole, into that same category?
Well, you know.
Just imagine. You know,
these guys.
After studying so hard and making an honest living.
I mean, they have to suffer the, the chore of looking into your gross mouth and digging all sorts of things out of it. And
right. They chose that profession.
Oh, shame.
Don't lump them in with the religious people.
I am. No, I'm putting them in with the drug addicts and alcoholics. The religious people, I said, are much more scary.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
All right, that's all we got time for in the news. We're going to speak to now. Wow, speaking about the religious people. I mean, these guys are not. They are just a band. They smoke up a storm, as you might expect. After 4 years together as a band, they are still 3 members short of a full orgy. But they are here this morning. A group of punk folk poke funk musos who've graced the Skellum stage and James Phillips stage at Opikopi over the past few years, and even made an appearance on the Comics Choice Awards at Monty Teatro at the end of last year. Their latest EP is called The Prawn Awakens. And they are going to come in and join us this morning. They are called Satanic Dacha Orgy, a name that is bound to get parents all over the world fearing for their lives and reprimanding their children if they should ever be found in possession of a ticket to one of their shows. I'm excited to meet them. They're coming in next. Their names are Peter Blackbeard and Zamboni, which is such a cool name. You know what a Zamboni is? It's that thing that they use on ice hockey rinks and on skating rinks to clean up the ice and to polish it up and close the cracks.
With the big
sweeping things.
Yes.
Oh. It's a Zamboni.
Works as a name.
That's a terrible name.
I am Zam.
Zamboni. He's going to join us. They both join us in a couple of minutes' time. Don't go anywhere. This is cliffcentral.com. Tuesday morning. Stretching you on. You're almost at the end of August. Yes. Here's Sia's favorite song of the moment. Kiss. Cardi B.
Yes, Kel.
Sia said he had this song in his head the whole weekend.
Yes, Kel.
Cardi B with Bodak Yellow.
Say, little bitch, you can't fuck with me. Only got charms and life past the place. Hard to let these bitches know. Just in case these hoes forgot. I just wanna check the mail. Another check from Martin Scott.
What a song. See, I just looked up the lyrics to this song. It's just so well written. Just beautiful.
Lyrical genius. Yeah. Said little bitch, you can't fuck with me if you wanted to.
Right.
These expensive, these is red bottoms, these is bloody shoes.
What is red bottoms? Is that
Christian Louboutin? Mm. Yeah.
Oh my god.
These is really? Red bottoms.
The red soul sends women in a tiz all over the world.
It is outrageous. Outrageous.
All right, very good. Everybody calm down.
Cardi B.
Bodak Yellow. Well, I'll bet you any amount of money in 5 years' time, no one will remember Cardi B.
That's why she's got to catch in now while the going is still.
Yeah. Buy those shoes, honey. They're going to look great on the street corner in your cardboard box house one day.
Hey, from stripper to number 3 song on the Billboard charts.
Well, you see, Gareth, anything is possible in America.
And I'm telling you, this is her moment to shine, as you've just pointed out. And soon, she will be back on the street living in a cardboard box.
Yeah, she must cash in.
Yeah, because she's going to need that money to help her buy the booze that will make it feel better when she's back on the street.
Is that what the B stands for?
Cardi, B for booze.
Okay. All right.
It is time to meet the dudes from Satanic Dacha Orgy. Let's bring them in here. I don't even know how we met them. Do you know, Sia? What's the story here? How did we get to know about these guys? Grab a seat, gentlemen. Nice to have you here this morning.
Interesting thing is we had a meeting with one of the band members.
Did you know at the time? Because they didn't tell you they were called Satanic Dacha Orgy. They just said, we're from SDO, right?
Came in with the shirt and, you know, all tucked in.
And you were like, oh, this must be some kind of Silicon Valley startup. SDO.
Very dignified.
It sounds great.
And then their promo pictures are them in Speedo. So they have a lot of explaining to do as well.
All right, hello, you hipsters. What's happening, guys? Oh, nice to have you here. All right, so let's meet you properly. Which one is Peter?
I'm Peter.
You're Peter Blackbeard because you got the black beard. I should have known that.
Yeah,
and you are Zamboni.
Yeah, because I'm a giant ice machine.
Beautiful.
Oh.
All right. Oh. So first of all, what business did you have meeting with my staff?
It wasn't either of us. I think it was our drummer.
Which is amazing because normally drummers aren't very useful.
No,
but he's they just like, hit things. But did
he's
he hit
on
you
the ball.
When he met you?
I didn't know you had a drummer.
He was actually nice. No, so
I thought you guys were still like putting the band together.
There's actually 7 members.
Seven,
but only 4 or 5 play regularly. The others are like branch offices in Cape Town and across the country.
I love this. This is fantastic. All right, you look very. You look like you belong to a band. Actually,
we didn't when we started out though. The band informed our look.
Oh, really?
Not the other way around.
Yeah, you know, after 2 shows at Orpical, we have to start looking stylish now.
No. You look the part. Let me give you credit where it's due. Yeah. I mean, listen to some of your music just now. We've actually got some of your songs here as well. We'll play some of those. But how did the whole band come together? What's your actual background in terms of how well you know each other, where it all started?
First time I met Sam, he was about 17 or 18 at a friend's house. Mm-hmm. And I thought he was an arrogant shit.
Oh, okay.
You could only play blues.
That's I was just playing guitar of everything.
Blues Yeah, anyone who plays blues is usually an arrogant. They're very superior people. They think they know everything about music. And blues, really, you have to have... I think you have to be... It's like a sophisticated palate. You know those people who can tell whether or not a whiskey is good or what vintage a wine is? Most of them are probably bullshitters, but I wouldn't argue with them because what do I know?
Yeah, well, that's...
Same with blues musicians.
Well, definitely in terms of me, I'm not a professional musician. I'm a enthusiastic amateur.
Yeah, that's all right.
Yeah, and I,
he is?
He's a professional musician.
Yeah, I studied at Wits.
So you play guitar, right?
I'm a guitarist.
Right. Yeah. Okay, you studied music.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. You know, one of those. So you're going to give us... No, I mean, you read music. You can...
Terribly, though.
Okay, but you can read music.
Yeah.
So already, then you're out of the amateur category. Because most musicians that I meet can't do that. And then you say to them, well, how do you write a song? Well, no, just mess around with my guitar. But you can actually write the stuff. Then you get the ones who've studied it, like you have, who are, they're not enthusiastic, they're aficionados.
Yeah.
And they, if I said, for example, that I liked something commercial, you'd look down on me.
I love Taylor Swift. 1989 really? Is great.
Really?
Max Martin, who produced that, who's written all the pop music in the last 20 years, yeah. One of my favorite writers.
Don't mess with me, dude.
No, really.
Are you?
We love Tay-Tay.
Really. I hate that whole thing about being above forms of music or trying to be classy or fancy. Music doesn't have to be about that. I mean, our band is specifically about this. It's about meeting people, having fun, entertaining people. And that's good.
All right, now you got my guard down. I hope you don't take advantage. Because I don't think music should be rarefied. I think everybody should be able to access it at some point. Whether it's good music or bad music, it's up to them to decide, right?
Yep.
Yeah. For me, music is a community thing. It's about community and making music within a community and for a community. If you're just doing it to show off, play in your room, don't play for others.
So he didn't like you when he met you. Peter didn't think you were full of yourself and all the rest of it. And what did you think of him?
I don't remember him.
You probably thought, this guy can only play punk music. He's not worth my time.
And tell jokes.
Could I tell jokes back then?
Well, you told jokes. I don't know if they were funny or not.
They probably weren't funny.
No.
And the rest of the band? I mean, seven of you is almost like freshly ground. They're 23 in that band.
Yeah. But they have to make up for Lonnie's shortness.
Okay.
Come on.
There's a weight limit to be a band. You have to reach a certain... otherwise, you can't be a band.
Where did the rest of you get together?
Okay, so, yeah, I was...
And how do you even coordinate seven people?
That's why we've got a manager.
Okay.
Yeah, so, yeah, she's going grey rapidly as a result of working
poor
with
woman.
Us. Yeah, so I was complaining to a colleague that I missed being on stage because I've been in a couple of very small bands before. Mm-hmm. And she said, okay, enough complaining, I've booked you for a show. So I was like, oh, crap. So I called my friend Ricky, who played for Facing the Gallows. I said, I know you're getting a little bit tired of playing metal. Come and join me on this... two acoustic guitar folk duo, and let's see what happens. Then he couldn't play a certain show, and I called Zam. Zam's like, this is fun. So he stuck around.
Wow.
And then we thought, okay, now we actually need a few more instruments. And I think we've just been lucky to get really cool people who think the same way as us to join the band.
So the name?
Literally off a Star headline. There was that Kirsty Theologu girl who got set alight by her friends.
Yes.
And the Star, not the Daily Sun or something like that, the Star,
yeah.
Satanic Dacha Orgy. And I was like, that is a band name.
What a name.
Yeah.
Because it's great. It must get loads of people very, very upset, though, for no good reason.
Very upset.
It's amazing how sensitive people are to, particularly the word satanic. They don't mind the Dacha Orgy. But the minute you put the satanic in, they think, uh-oh.
Yeah.
This is very bad news. That's what we warned you about. We knew they were coming. It's like the White Walkers.
Funny enough, Joburg's less concerned about that than Cape Town is.
Really?
Yeah, in Cape Town, when we tried to book a tour down there, what, 2-3 years ago, it was almost impossible.
Mm.
Everyone was like, nah, never booking a band like that. Never booking a band called Satanic Dacha Orgy. You and your 70 fans can go somewhere else.
But do people not realize that, you know, you've got your tongue firmly lodged in your cheek? It's a funny thing. You don't actually... like murder babies.
Do people in 2017 still have a sense of humor?
I don't know, dude. If you go on the internet, you wouldn't think so.
No.
Like, I actually saw Rowan Atkinson published some kind of article yesterday where he said, just by the way, anybody under the age of 30, let me remind you, it's really important that we insult each other. It's important for your development that you're insulted occasionally. And sometimes people might joke with you. There might be irony. Mm. It might be sarcasm. That's how humor works. And of course, then a bunch of people got on his case and said, you don't understand. It's like, no, I've been doing this for a while. So you take your life in your hands when you name your band this Satanic Dacha Orgy. What kind of music do you do, though? Because you say it's a mix of punk and folk.
Yeah, and a little bit of country, I reckon. But starting to lean towards pop as well, because we want to break down those boundaries where it's specifically quite present in the metal scene. Where the guys will be like, I only listen to black metal. I'm not going to go and watch a death metal band. What nonsense is that?
I mean, also, you get so niched eventually that nobody cares, right?
Yeah. I only listen to post-hardcore death metal with timing 6/8 tune to drop C. Okay, dude, the one band that you like is breaking up. What are you going to do now?
You're stuck with us.
And also, the only people who ever really cared about genre were the people who used to file them when we still had CD stores.
You used to do that.
I used to do that.
Right, so you had to care about genre, but since then you don't care?
Not a bit.
Grab those guitars. Let me hear some stuff. Come on, let's play around here, guys. Let's have some fun. It's a Tuesday morning. Nobody wants to be serious.
Do you know what I was thinking about? Mm? If they collaborated with Fuck Off Policicar... I literally think like some people's
Fuck off
heads.
Satanic Dacha Orgy.
Yo. Heads would roll.
Yeah, look, I mean, it's a catchy title and it must actually get you a few more jobs than you would think because there are some people who do get it. But that's not the important thing here. Your important thing is your music. Let me hear what you can do. Are you going to just play one of your songs off the top of your head? What do you want to do?
Yeah, we're going to do a tune off our new album or new EP called The Prawn Awakens. That's not so new anymore. Mm-hmm. It's called Homo von a Lady. and it's about how homosexuality and evolution are completely natural, normal things and a part of our life.
You guys do not shy away from controversies.
No, we do not.
Let's hit this. Let's have some fun here. Yeah, who's singing here? Both of you?
Both of us.
Okay, so we're going to move closer.
Yeah. Bring that one in there and I'll turn up the guitar.
Ready?
Yeah. Right,
whenever you're ready.
I'm a monk and a lady, a fellow man. Not saying you're a monkey, let me help you understand. Human race. I'm a monk for the Muslims.
Yes, I am.
And the Christians too.
I am gay.
I'm a monk for the blacks, white, Asians, colored, Arabs, Caucasians, and Jews.
I don't think we need religion anymore to see us through.
Cause we're homo for the lady, and we think you should be too.
I'm homo for the lady.
Yes, I am gay. I'm homo for the lady, now that science leads our way. At this stage, I'm a monk for the lady, whoever we love,
and
the power of love for the people of a love for some power above,
and the love between two men is still a work of art.
We're homo for the lady, and we've been homo from the start.
I'm homo for the lady.
Yes, I am gay. I'm homo for the lady. Now the science leads our way.
I'm homo for the lady.
Yes, I am gay. I'm homo for the lady. And we know we're still monkeys at this stage.
I'm homo for the lady.
Yes, I am gay. I'm homo for the lady. Now the science leads our way.
I'm homo for the lady.
Yes, I am gay. At this stage.
Beautiful. You guys are not scared, huh? You're going everywhere here. Yeah. You go for, I heard you mentioned the Muslims, you mentioned that we're still monkeys, you talk about the gay thing. I mean, there's a lot of stuff in there that's bound to offend everybody.
Yeah.
Is that the purpose?
I think, Zam, you wrote it. You tell the story.
I think it comes back to a meeting we had in the beginning, in the inception of this band, when we started writing songs that were offensive to people. Mm-hmm. And we had to come with this idea of either is everything is sacred or nothing is sacred.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a really important thing. So for us, nothing in that song, even if you're offended, if you're listening to the lyrics, to us, we're not trying to actually offend anyone, if mm-hmm. that makes sense.
Yeah, of course.
We're just being honest about the situation we're in and talking about things in a humorous way. Because I find, like we said earlier, 2017, people don't laugh about things anymore. Because we take hard topics so seriously, we end up fighting and shouting at each other on social media rather than just looking at sort of the humorous or obscure, strange things that we don't quite understand about the world and making light of it, and in that way, finding peace and understanding. And I think that's really important. So that's why we do what we do.
There's a South Park episode from season 19 where everyone...
I like how specific you are.
I only just started watching it. So they create this internet safe space for everyone, and they pay underprivileged children in third world countries to clean up people's social media feeds to ensure that they only get positive stuff. And that is such a huge issue with today. Like, oh, I'll block you because you disagree with me.
Uh-huh.
No, man, come on, grow up. Let's have a debate. Let's even have an argument. It's fun.
Absolutely.
Get your blood rushing in your ears.
It seems to me like we have we've lost the ability to find something between an all-on fight, like a proper physical fight where we're beating each other up or like shooting each other in the street or marching with torches and driving cars into each other, as just happened in Charlottesville. There's that on the one extreme, and then on the other extreme, there is the ability to, well, it's not even an extreme. On the other side, it's block everything. Just make everything furry and safe and pad the walls and put everybody in straitjackets, they can't hurt themselves, and just protect them from anything that they don't agree with. And somewhere in the middle is like, let's have a conversation where we introduce humor and irony and we point out each other's differences and we allow stereotypes to not always be considered racist or bigoted, and they can actually be a source of great, like, fun.
Yeah.
That middle ground is gone. That middle ground is something that's increasingly a rarity. Mm. And you find it maybe with your friends and maybe on those politically incorrect WhatsApp groups that you're a part of.
Yeah. I think also, you know, people don't like to be preached at. Mm. So if you want to get a message across, maybe humor in today's world is the best way.
Yeah.
Because people are not going to say, oh, God, he's preaching. Yeah. Switch off.
Yeah. Let's have some more. Go on. What else you got?
Ah, what would you like to play, Zam? Don't be cuck.
Should we do Crisis?
Okay, let's do Crisis.
Someone says that Homo for Naledi sounds like it should feature in the Big Bang Theory. That's from Steven. He likes
Thanks,
that.
Thanks, Steven.
Thanks, Steve. Right. This is... Okay, well, yeah, we've got a nice intro to this.
Right.
So this song was inspired by a 17-year-old Cape Townian doctor's daughter.
True story.
Who got stopped at O.R. Tambo trying to fly to Syria.
She wanted to join ISIS.
Yeah.
Correct.
I remember that. Stupid. Idiot.
But there was a German girl who managed to join ISIS.
Uh-huh.
And she's like 16. She's got about 3 kids.
Uh-huh.
All future jihadis, I suppose.
Right.
And now she wants to come back from ISIS.
Mm-hmm. Because it didn't work out?
Didn't work out. So this song, it started off about that 17-year-old Cape Townian doctor's daughter, but now it's more about anyone who wants to be like the German. Just don't join ISIS. So this song's called Crisis.
Jesus, crisis, they wouldn't let me join ISIS. Jesus, crisis, they wouldn't let me join. I'm 16 years old and no one understands me. Angry with the entire world and I want to break free. 16 years old, bought a ticket on a jet to meet my friend Ahmed from the internet. Jesus, crisis, they wouldn't let me join ISIS. Jesus, crisis, they wouldn't let me join. 16 years old on a plane to Pakistan, burning up on my explosives and my Quran. all other planes to Pakistan. For my interview with two jihadis and an imam. Packing my bags, I'm gonna meet a man. Take me to a land of violence and sand. I'm joining ISIS, don't you see? Jesus, crisis. They wouldn't let me join ISIS. Jesus, crisis. They wouldn't let me join. Crisis, they wouldn't let me join ISIS. Jesus, crisis, they wouldn't let me join. Jesus, crisis, they wouldn't let me join ISIS. Jesus, crisis, they wouldn't let me join. 16 years old on the streets of Islamabad, it's northern Pakistan. Jihadi said I wasn't good enough to join their jihad. 16 years old and I'm hiking to Syria. Also not in Pakistan. See if the jihadis there are any friendlier. Packing my bags, I'm gonna meet a man. Take me to a land of violence and sand. I'm joining ISIS, don't you see? Jesus, crisis. They wouldn't let me join ISIS. Jesus, crisis. They wouldn't let me join. Jesus, crisis. They wouldn't let me join ISIS. Jesus, crisis. They wouldn't let me join.
All right. What beard oil do you use?
I'm sponsored by the great folk at Freedom Hair.
Oh, you are sponsored?
Yep.
Can't be a lot of beards like yours. There are many hipsters who would be jealous of that beard.
Yes. I'm not a hipster.
No, I know, but many have drowned themselves in Zoo Lake after seeing your beard.
Shame.
Yeah.
Like that Blonsky guy, no. Shame. Mm. But I'm sponsored, and it's RB & Co. Beard Oil. You can get it, I think, exclusively at Freedom Hair in Melville. I'd recommend going there anyway, because it's just fun.
All right. And your beard, it's not unimpressive. It's just unimpressive compared to Peter's.
Yeah, I like a lot of things.
Oh, wow, okay.
Also, Boyden at Freedom Hair, just an incredible place. They're always good to us.
So,
a lot of fun.
What kind of crowd do you guys pull? I mean, is it very mixed?
Very.
So, according to our YouTube analytics, not. But if you look at our live shows, yes, we try to create that safe space. But it's safe in that you can say what you want and do what you want, almost like Opie Corpie used to be.
Yeah, once there was a thing called classical liberalism.
Yes.
Once that thing existed, it meant you would have an opportunity to meet people who you disagreed with, and God knows, even possibly get along with them.
Yeah, I heard they're going to shut down Speaker's Corner at Hyde Park. Because
really?
Not really.
Well, I wouldn't be surprised if they eventually took away the soapbox.
Yeah.
You know, just because, oh, well, some people were upset. They walked past and they heard something they didn't like.
They're allergic to soap.
So, guys, in some ways, you are, you're sort of free speech advocates.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Okay. And mixing that with music, people like it.
Yeah.
There's a little bit of poking the bear here.
Yeah.
And also South Africans like to jawl. So
yes.
It's a good way to talk to them.
Do you get drunk during your gigs?
So
not anymore.
Yeah, Zam's been sober for the whole year.
What happened?
I just drank a lot. Being a professional musician and playing 5-6 times a week means drinking 5-6 times a week.
And it just got too much?
Yeah, I just felt like I was becoming an alcoholic even though I didn't really want to drink. It was just becoming out of habit and process. So I thought, nip that in the bud.
All right, here are a couple of comments for you. Oh my God, where can I download Crisis? I want it as my ringtone.
All our music is available for Bandcamp or on Bandcamp for free. If you can
really?
Afford, yeah. So we believe music should be free, but if you could afford to download to donate money to us, we really would appreciate that.
Right.
But if you can't, all the music's for free for download.
We're also on all the streaming platforms: Deezer, iTunes, Google Play Music.
Nice. Yeah. Leola says, these guys are amazing. Being politically incorrect is the only real truth in today's world. Satanic Dacha Orgy. There's even a hashtag they've created for you.
Oh, cool.
Then someone else says, what a lot of bullshit. And someone says, yawn, yawn, yawn. What a lot of shit, Gareth. Quality slipping. How dare you?
Pray for us, guys. Pray for us.
It's worked so far.
Yeah. So do you have a lot of people who pitch up at your gigs not knowing what the hell it's going to be, and then they're pleasantly surprised?
I think if our name's on the door, they'll make a call right then and there if they're going to come in or not.
Right.
Most people have been pleasantly surprised. One of our biggest fans is an ardent Christian.
Oh.
And she's at most of our shows.
Yeah, you see, I suppose that's open-minded, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Happy about that. Mm. You know, we're not going to try and determine or dictate what you should or shouldn't believe in.
Right.
We just don't.
Where are you doing your next gig? Give it a plug.
Ah, we're actually playing the Foo Fighters launch party at the Shadow Boxer in Greenside on the 7th.
Very nice.
Along with Pollinator and Joshua Kempen, both excellent bands and artists. We're playing a couple of Foo Fighters songs and a couple of originals.
Mm-hmm. You do covers as well?
Yeah, well, okay. Yes and no. We don't do them professionally, yeah. But we've got a couple of cool ones that we like playing. And yeah. We were asked to play this, and the Foo Fighters are a great band, and Dave Grohl's a great guy, so we just figured, hell yeah.
Pay it's also homage. Pete's favorite band, so I don't think we would have said no.
Well, they're not my favorite band, but yeah, Dave Grohl's probably my favorite musician.
Okay, very, very good. Thank you, gentlemen. Peter Blackbeard and Zam Boney, they're from Satanic Dacha Orgy. You got to hear a taste of what they do. And hopefully we'll hear even more good things about you as you go out and conquer.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Good luck. Nice to meet you guys.
Thanks.
Cheers.
Always good to meet people, and particularly talented people. Now, let me quickly tell you, in case you don't already know, we've got this terrific newsletter, which we send out every single morning. It is... Oh, it's jam-packed with news. It's packed with all the info from cliffcentral.com that you want. Best deliverability in South Africa. We get to the inbox. That's right. TouchBase Pro are our partners in getting this right. Automation tools to knock your socks off. Transactional emailing to get up to 8 times more readership. And by the way, if you're looking for a newsletter for your own business or your own, I don't know, you might have a band, you might want to use this. An email designer that your mom could use. In other words, it's that easy. You could book a demo with them, and they will share their screen with you. See for yourself. There's no commitment on your side. Go to touchbasepro.com. That's touchbasepro, one word, .com. Got it? www.touchbasepro.com. And click book a demo today. That's TouchBasePro. And if you use the cliffcentral.com newsletter, you'll know what I'm talking about when it comes to getting what it is you want. All right, when we come back, we're going to get into an interview with, remember Adriana Maria Mubbs? She's a theoretical physicist. We spoke to her about going on the Mars One project.
Oh, she was one of the people who was not selected, but she was shortlisted, right?
Yeah, she's in the 100 people who might be joining the Mars One expedition. We talk about that a little bit, but she also spoke at the big Singularity University event that they had last week. Last year. We spoke to her a year ago, and so we'll catch up with her and see what she's got in terms of updates and what she can share with us from the Singularity University talk last week. She was one of the speakers. That's coming up next. Here's Satanic Dacha Orgy with a slight return.
Well, I try to be a hipster, but I'm too fat for skinny jeans.
This is CliffCentral.com.